Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoik. Where did the time go? We've probably asked ourselves many times over and over, and probably more frequently as the days and years go by. Do you wonder how your grandchildren have practically hopscotched from infancy to teenagerhood? Well, there are some theories about why this seems to be true, which are revealed in BrainWorld's winter 2017 issue, How Time Flies, Growing Older, and the Perception of Time by Nicole Dean. Also in this issue, Growing Down, Adjust to Your Shrinking Stature by Dr. David Williams on proprioception. So, how time flies. It seems like yesterday. This statement, or something close to it, was repeated many times by survivors interviewed by media outlets on the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Indeed, to most people old enough to remember that day, it does seem like yesterday. Except that it was not yesterday, it is a full decade and a half later. In that same period of time, three-year-olds grew into full-fledged adults. Clunky BlackBerries carried by a few evolved into sleek smartphones carried by almost everyone. Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter all went from non-existent to ever-present. Similarly, time seems to speed up as we get older. When we were five, Christmas took forever to get here as we anxiously awaited the fulfillment of our wish list. At 50, however, we remark, it's Christmas already? Again? Of course, objectively, we know that a year always takes the same 365 days to pass, except on a leap year, of course, and that each of those days contains the same 24 hours. Yet we all know that this is not at all how it feels. Why is it that some things that happened years ago seem like yesterday, while other things seem lost in the past? And why is it that time seems to pass faster as we get older? Why does it seem that our brains warp the perception of time based on circumstances and subject matter? Psychologists have been noticing this feature of the human mind and have been forming theories about its origins since psychology began as a discipline. In 1890, William James wrote in his classic text, Principles of Psychology, that this phenomenon was essentially the result of life becoming increasingly boring as we age. In other words, adulthood is marked by fewer and fewer events worth remembering as we grow older. The younger we are, the more firsts we experience. As small children, almost every moment is filled with novel experiences. In adolescence and young adulthood, life has become more habitual, but there are still many firsts. First kiss, first car, first apartment. Looking at older adults, James grows rather glum about the thrill of living. The days and weeks smooth themselves out and the years grow hollow and collapse. Because they lack unique significance, our days pass us by in rapid succession, according to the theory. Another long-standing theory is called the ratio theory, first proposed in 1877 by French psychologist Pierre Janet. According to this premise, days seem to pass more quickly because they equal an increasingly smaller portion of our entire lives. For example, 1 year is 1/5, or 20%, of the entire lifespan of a five-year-old. So a year to a tot of this age seems an eternity. By contrast, a year is only 1/40th, or 2.5%, of a 40-year-old's life. The ratio theory, although offering a partial explanation of the phenomenon, does not quite fit people's actual experience, however. In one study conducted at Munich University, participants were asked the question, how fast did the last 10 years pass for you? Interestingly, people of all ages reported that a decade felt like much less than 10 years. And as expected, the older they were, the shorter people perceived those 10 years to be. However, the tendency largely dissipated after age 50. People over 50 experience the same 10 years as much shorter than an actual decade, but the estimated passage of perceived time did not decrease by much after that age. In other words, the ratio of time to lifespan continued to decrease, but the perception of time speeding up did not increase by an equivalent amount, as the ratio theory would suggest that it should. The Munich researchers suggested a reason why 50 was an age at which time slows its perceived acceleration. Time doesn't just fly when we're having fun, as the old adage says, but whenever we are very busy. A 50-year-old perceives time passing more quickly than a 25-year-old because they have more responsibilities in life and in work. There is never enough time in the day to get everything done. The perception of time speeding up levels off in middle age because our busyness typically increases up to that point as we advance in our careers and become more involved with the activities of our growing children. Then after 50, it levels off as we reach the zenith of our career and our children become more independent. If you want to slow the perceived passage of time, you have to stay in what researchers called specious time. Interestingly, this is similar to what spiritual teachers call the present moment or the now. Psychologists, including pioneers like Janet and James, have noted that time slows and experiences deeper when we stay completely focused on what we are doing and what is happening in the present. Toddlers live almost completely within this mental space, so time has no past or present. It is essentially infinite. Older people, on the other hand, tend to be anywhere but the present, spending much time worrying about the to-do list for the day ahead and reliving a hurtful comment made 2 weeks ago by a friend. But how does this explain the seeming warping of time that occurs with big events like 9/11? Why does that event seem like yesterday, while others from the same time period seem so distant? This effect is probably the result of the way our memories process negative experiences. Any novel event will stand out in the memory, but negative ones, especially those that evoke great fear, will stand out in even greater detail. Brain scientists believe this is true for a couple of reasons. First, it is a survival adaptation. Our ancestors needed to remember where dangers lurked in order to avoid them. Second, our psyche needs to process these events, to make sense of them, and to integrate them into our understanding of the world. So it would be that 9/11 feels like yesterday because our minds are still consciously and unconsciously processing the tragedy, both for our own survival and for our sense of ourselves in the world. The same holds true individually. Surprising events, including positive ones like receiving a marriage proposal or winning a prize, will likely remain more vivid in memory, and our brains will want to keep the tough moments of life, such as confrontations with bullies, car accidents, and nasty breakups, front and center in the mind in order to deal with their lingering psychological ramifications. David Eagleman, director of the Laboratory for Perception and Action at Baylor College of Medicine, has considered this feature of the human brain from the physiological point of view. In an article written for the popular e-zine Edge, he explains that different kinds of sensory information are processed by different structures of the brain. For that reason, the brain has to reconstruct the parts of each experience to have them make sense as a whole. Even at an early age, we are very good at doing this, unless the details are so nonsensical to us that we can't make them make sense. The ones we have a difficult time reconstructing become what he calls temporal illusions. Similar to optical illusions, but with time instead of visual information. Eagleman writes, "Time perception, just like vision, is a construction of the brain and is shockingly easy to manipulate experimentally. We all know about optical illusions in which things appear different from how they really are. Less well known is the world of temporal illusions. When you begin to look for temporal illusions, they appear everywhere. When we look at optical illusions, our brains are given contradictory information, disrupting their ability to translate all of the visual information in a concrete way. In temporal illusions, our brain's ability to reconstruct time has been disrupted, so we end up with a distorted version of time that never quite matches with reality. One more thing is known about perception of time by the human brain. Humans everywhere have the same tendencies. The results of these time perception studies have been practically identical among German, Austrian, Dutch, Japanese, and New Zealander participants. All of them experience the speeding up of time with age and the distortions of time when experiencing surprising events. This suggests that it's a brain-based phenomenon, not something created by cultural differences. As neuroscientists unravel the many mysteries that remain about the nature of consciousness and the nature of our brain's existence within the time-space continuum, many questions will certainly be asked about how and why the brain perceives time as it does. Well, I wanted to know more about those temporal illusions, and I found information at the website, Exactly What is Time? A temporal illusion is a distortion of the perception of time that occurs for various reasons, such as due to different kinds of stress. In such cases, a person may momentarily perceive time as slowing down, stopping, speeding up, or even running backwards, as the timing and temporal order of events are misperceived. When we say that time slows down, what we actually mean is that our internal clock speeds up, which gives the impression that time in the rest of the world slows down. The Kappa effect. This is a form of temporal illusion which can be verified by experiment. It refers to occasions when the temporal duration between a sequence of consecutive stimuli is thought to be relatively longer or shorter than is actual time elapsed as a result of the spatial separation between consecutive stimuli. As an example, if two consecutive journeys take an equal amount of time, the journey that covers more distance may appear to the individual perceiver to take longer than the journey covering less distance, even though they actually take an equal amount of time. Several theories have been put forward to explain the Kappa effect, mainly based on the brain's prior expectations about stimulus velocity or speed. It seems that the brain is wired to expect temporal intervals that would produce constant velocity or uniform motion. The oddball effect. This so-called oddball effect occurs when the brain experiences something unusual or out of the normal run of events. In this case, the brain pays special attention and spends more time processing the event, recording as much information as possible on this novel circumstance, which can lead to a feeling that time has slowed down. This is particularly apparent when a person perceives an unusual or stressful sensory stimulus, particularly one that appears to be a potential threat or a possible mate. For example, time seems to slow down when a person skydives or bungee jumps, or when a person suddenly and unexpectedly senses the presence of a potential predator or mate. Similar effects occur when emotions of fear are artificially generated by watching a horror film. It is thought that changes in the neurotransmitter norepinephrine, or adrenaline, is responsible for this slowing down of our internal clock. There may be an evolutionary advantage to such a response in that it may enhance our ability to make quick and good decisions in moments that may be of critical importance to our survival or procreation. Where one has a short space of time in which to decide whether to attack or run away, fight or flight. To a bystander watching a life-threatening situation, such as an accident, time is moving at a normal speed. But the individual in the accident may perceive time as having slowed down, allowing them more time to think and act during these potentially life-threatening events. David Eagleman has carried out experiments that show quite clearly that in high adrenaline situations, the brain is actually capable of processing information significantly faster than under normal circumstances. However, it's still not completely clear whether the effect is actually a function of real increase in time resolution during the event or just an illusion of memory of emotionally important or salient events. It looks increasingly probable that it may only be a retrospective assessment that brings a person to feel that time ran in slow motion during a life-threatening or stressful event. More specifically, the brain does its best to record everything possible about a stressful, threatening, or exciting situation in memory, in case they may be useful in future situations. The more memories that are accumulated about the situation, the more data there is to subsequently leaf through, giving the impression that more time must have passed. So positive or negative emotions can affect the subjective perception of time. Time flies is a common proverbial expression since it first appeared in Virgil's Georgics in 29 BCE as tempus fugit, or literally, time flees. And now growing down, adjusting to your shrinking stature. As you grow older, have you noticed that there are some activities you can no longer perform? It may be that you've gotten shorter. As we age, we shrink. Starting around age 40, you typically lose about 0.4 inches every decade. Most of the height loss comes from gravity that continually compresses the gel-like discs or cushions between the vertebra and the spine. The discs tend to dry out and become thinner. Additional loss of height occurs from osteoporosis, bone loss in the spine or other bones. The weaker bones sustain small compression fractures and can cause the collapse, resulting in a curvature of the spine and further loss of height. The spine can also curve excessively from front to back due to a loss of tone in the abdominal muscles. Finally, it's not uncommon for your foot arches to flatten, making you even shorter. The importance of proprioception. Since this shrinking occurs gradually over decades, not only do we visualize ourselves as being our original height, our brains do as well. The subconscious awareness of your body's orientation and movement is called proprioception. Based on signals from the inner ear and nerves in the muscles and joints, the brain determines the location of your hands and feet, even in complete darkness, much like being able to place your hands in the proper location to catch a ball. Accurate proprioception is learned through experience. And when something like your height changes, your proprioception is compromised. As most people age, they don't stay active enough to retrain their neurological pathways, and their proprioception ability diminishes. This is one of the reasons that falls are so common in the elderly. As your spine shrinks or curves, your real changes. You walk differently, your center of gravity shifts, the range of motion in your shoulders, lower back, and neck changes, and your agility and sense of balance decrease. This is why it's important to perform activities that retrain nerve patterns so that your brain can keep you upright and balanced in your activities. Recalibrating your proprioception. Proprioception and developing the neurological pathways that make it automatic takes some effort and repetition, but it's well worth it. Not only Does it improve your mobility and lengthen your life? It can give you an excuse to play again and actually have fun. You can find dozens of advanced balance exercises by searching online, but these are a few of my favorites to get you started. Begin slowly and only progress to a level that makes you comfortable. If you have questions or concerns, get advice and guidance from your doctor. Make sure you are either barefoot or wearing flat-bottom shoes. In addition, use an armless chair or kitchen counter to hold on to and stabilize yourself if necessary. The only other item you need is a roll of blue painter's tape. Exercise 1. While holding on to the chair or counter, try balancing on one leg for as long as you can, and then switch legs. Time yourself. Try to work up to 1 minute. It's not a race. It might take days or even weeks. Once you reach 1 minute, or your maximum, try stabilizing yourself using just one hand to hold the chair or counter, and then just one finger, and then let go completely. Exercise 2. Place a 10 to 12 foot straight line of blue painter's tape on the floor, down a hallway, across a room, or on the floor running alongside a kitchen countertop. Stand on the tape with one foot in front of the other, heel to toe. Walk slowly, placing one foot in front of the other, touching the heel of one foot to the toe of the other. You've probably seen the same exercise being done by someone performing a sobriety test. Don't get discouraged. This isn't easy to do, and downright impossible when you're under the influence. If necessary, start by holding on to a counter, a wall, or someone's hand. If and when this exercise becomes very easy, the same movement, well, try it backward. For extreme difficulty, try walking forward heel to toe while reading out loud from a magazine held slightly down and to the side. I don't know about that one. Exercise 3. Place a line of objects, such as disposable red Solo cups turned upside down, 12 to 18 inches apart along the painter's tape. Now, walk the line while stepping over each of the objects, trying not to stop or kick any of the cups. You can increase the difficulty by looking straight ahead instead of down at the tape while walking, or you can sidestep, stand next to the first object, step over it with one foot, followed by the other, and continue down the line. Don't forget eye-hand coordination. In addition to these balance exercises, I strongly suggest doing things that develop hand-eye coordination. If you're capable of participating in sports such as tennis, golf, or shooting hoops, those are excellent options. Also, don't forget about Tai Chi or yoga. If none of those interest you, go back to the games you played as a child. You may think of them as a waste of time, but that's definitely not the case. Without you knowing it, they calibrated your nervous system when you were young, and they can do the same thing now. Have some fun and improve your proprioception with games and activities such as juggling, jacks, marbles, cat's cradle, pickup sticks, Jenga, yo-yo, washers, beanbag toss, darts, or slingshot, as well as 7-Up or Orange Crush, spinning top, ball and cup, horseshoes, or croquet. If you're more technologically oriented, don't forget the wide variety of Nintendo Wii games, which have become popular in retirement and nursing homes, as well as rehab clinics all over the country. Wii is an easy, interactive, and fun way to exercise and build balance and coordination at home. It's also an effective way to track your progress. Practice makes permanent. Although it's a great goal, achieving perfection isn't necessary when it comes to improving proprioception. Instead of practice makes perfect, think of it as practice makes permanent. The goal is to retrain the nervous system to be able to work automatically and subconsciously when the need arises. It takes repetition to reprogram neurological pathways. You may notice positive changes almost immediately. But expect a minimum of 4 weeks before you begin to experience permanent improvements. Recalibrating your nervous system and creating neural pathways doesn't happen overnight. Studies have repeatedly shown that the full benefit of slow movement exercise only becomes evident when practiced repeatedly over the long term. Tai Chi is a good example. For many, it's hard to comprehend how the slow, smooth body movements utilized in Tai Chi can result in so many health benefits, but a recent Chinese study found that this ancient form of exercise could be even more beneficial than vigorous exercise when performed over time. Repetition is the key. Professional athletes, fighters, and marksmen know that for the body to instinctively perform a certain action or skill, you need to consciously practice and correctly perform that action 2,000 times. Now, if 2,000 times or 2,000 repetitions sounds like too much work, then you're doing the wrong activity. If you find an activity you enjoy and start playing again, getting to 2,000 will be the last thing on your mind. Here's a little bit more about Dr. David Williams. He is a medical researcher, biochemist, and chiropractor. Dr. David Williams has developed a reputation as one of the world's leading authorities on natural healing. Today, Dr. Williams is active primarily as an author, speaker, and advisor for the research and development of nutritional supplements as part of the Healthy Directions family of experts. For more information, you can visit him at www.drdavidwilliams.com. Well, I believe, certainly, we can all remember clearly where we were when we heard the news that President Kennedy was shot. I was a high school senior in math class, and that chilling memory of what we were doing on 9/11. I was in the faculty room of my elementary school getting coffee before students arrived when my husband called saying, "We're being attacked, we're being attacked." Well, fortunately, though the same process allows for the clarity around positive experiences. Most vivid in my mind, carrying our newly adopted 4-week-old son to the car from the adoption center. Hopefully, as elders, those positive memories well outnumber our more distressing ones. Thanks for listening today, and until next week, I'm Kathy Van Skoik. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Van Skoik. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.